Yo, what's up, you guys? This is Pauly Shore, and welcome to the Pauly Shore Podcast Show. We're here at the MTV, Viacom offices. We snuck in. We have a special. Well, first of all, there's a couple people that are missing. If anyone even has listened to the show, do you think anyone's listened to the show?
Yeah, like 10 people.
10 people.
Yeah.
We got Hannah. Hey, where's Hannah? Hey. Hannah's back at home with her family. I think she's having some family issues with her grandmother. Let's well wishes out to Hannah and her family, right?
Yeah.
And I don't have a co-host. You know, I'm usually Willie was going to co-host, but he was too busy because he's working on the Gerard Carmichael
sitcom.
So I guess you guys, you know, we got my new intern here, Rick. Rick, what's up?
Hi, everybody. Glad to be here.
Rick. And then we have Ari, who's the tech nerd / comic / friend of mine.
Thank you for having me again. It's always great to be here.
Yeah, Ari, we just finished a tour of Iowa. Oh, wait, before we go into that, we have to tell people who's on the show. Mr. Doug Herzog is on the show. Doug Herzog, round of applause for Doug. Where's the cowbells? Throw some cowbells over there.
The king.
And then we have Camille Kramer.
Oh, yeah.
On the show.
Kramer. We do.
Grammar, not Kramer. I don't know why I keep saying Kramer. And who is Camille Grammar?
Well, if you're a young person, you may know her from Beverly Hills Housewives. Is that what it's called? Housewives of Beverly
Housewives
Hills?
Of Beverly Hills. What do you mean Beverly if you're Hills? A young person?
If you don't know her from back in the MTV days, you might know her from Spring Break.
You know, let me do that again. Rick, why don't you give us a try since you're new here?
Yeah, Camille Grammer is she's from Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
She was married to Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah.
And she was on Spring Break with you.
See, the guy's fucking been here for 2 minutes and knows more than you. You've been with me for six years.
6 years?
Yeah,
it's
6 years
we've been. And Doug Herzog recently took over an major executive position. There's a lot of movement going on over at Viacom. He took over for Van Toppler, who's an old friend of ours from back in the day, who's been at MTV, who kind of oversaw everything. And Doug Herzog is now the head honcho. He's in charge of – guys, you want to tell us who he's in charge of?
He's in charge of everything.
Other than country music, specifically Logo.
But he loves country music.
He does.
He loves it.
He doesn't want
to. If you want, he told me that he was listening to some twang. But who are some of the channels? MTV, MTV2,
Comedy Central.
Spike, Comedy Central. What else?
VH1.
VH1
Classic.
Yeah.
Logo. Classic.
Logo, which is a gay channel, which you'll be on soon.
Thank you. I hope
nice
so.
Nice boobies. So we're here at the Viacom offices, and you guys, you want to help me toss to Doug Herzog and give us a little background, because the co-host usually would do that. So,
well, Doug Herzog, he used to run Comedy Central, and now he's running all of Viacom. So he is the leader, and I'm excited to hear what he has to say.
Yeah, here he is, you guys. Get educated with what's going on. I know I'm going to get educated with you guys, ladies and gentlemen. Right after this, Mr. Douglas BGX Herzog, all the way from Emerson. I heard he went to Emerson College. Here we go. What's up, Doug Herzog? Say what's up.
What's up?
What's up? What's up? For the audience, the three people that are listening to the show.
I bring a big audience with me.
You do?
Yeah, just check Barry Katz's numbers.
For the audience listening, Doug, we were on email probably about a couple months ago, or a month or so ago, and I had just heard from Tony DeSanto, our mutual friend.
Sure, Tony D.
Tony D.
MTV legend.
Legend. Used to be my assistant.
Sure.
Back in the day.
Wait, he said he used to call him something.
Fat Bastard.
Yes, that was it.
And we were talking, and he's like, I'm like back and forth with him, like, can you believe Doug? Because we all know that Van left.
Right.
Or, you know, took off. He's producing now.
Yes.
And Van was pretty much in charge, because I know I'd always talk to Van about different things all the time, you know, just life and what Elf is going on. And then all of a sudden, he's gone. And then Tony says, you took his spot.
Last man standing.
That's fucking insane, dude. So, because you were running Comedy Central and Spike and all these other channels for so long, and now you took Van's spot. So can you tell people what that entails?
Me being really busy all the time. It's a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like double.
Wow.
Yeah, they're not paying me double.
They're not paying you double.
Just so you know, yeah, they're not paying me double. But, you know, no, it's just like, you know, it's fun to be back at MTV because, you know, it's just weird that I left MTV in 1995.
Wow.
Now it's 2015 and I'm back. So it's just weird. Like, you can come back to a place 20 years later. But here I am. And I love MTV. You know, it's a different MTV than it was when you and I were back there making history in the day.
I did the wheeze with you.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, bro.
But at the same time, you know, it's still MTV and it's a lot of fun and it's kind of cool to be back and sort of diving back in. So I'm excited about it.
So when you say you left MTV, because let's just break down the channels.
Sure.
Because there's VH1.
Sure.
There's MTV.
Yep.
There's Spike. There's CMT. There's Nickelodeon.
Well, these are not my channels, but these are channels.
Yeah, but I remember when I was talking to Van, he was in charge of all those. I thought you said
never
he took
Nickelodeon. Van was so my group was Comedy Central, Spike, and TV Land.
Yeah.
And then Van was MTV, VH1, MTV2, Logo, CMT, and then a bunch of these digital channels, Palladia, the cool music channel.
Yeah.
And then there's the Nickelodeon group or the kids and family group. So what happened was in the reorganization, MTV and VH1 and a bunch of those networks came to me, but TV Land and CMT went to the Nick group. So I'm not down with that country thing right now.
So you're not the country guy.
I'm not the country
guy. You're not the country guy. So when you...
Which is a bummer because I love the country music. I like the old country music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you do the... So what is your... Because you used to be in Century City.
Comedy Central... was in Century City. You know, Comedy Central originally was not always part of Viacom. It was only half owned by Viacom. Oh,
see, that's why I'm getting confused.
Yeah, it was half owned by Viacom and half owned by HBO. And for years, its offices were in Century City. So when I went back to comedy, they had just been bought fully by Viacom, but the offices were still in Century City. And at some point, they moved us over here where we are today in Santa Monica.
So where's Van now? What's he doing? I heard he's producing.
I think he's going to start his own kind of thing, and he's talking to a lot of people, and he's actually in New York. His office is down where Comedy Central is. It's on the old TV Land floor in my building in New York. I saw him there last week, and Van's going to go do his own thing.
Yeah.
He's going solo. He's going electric.
He's going Han Solo.
He's going Han Solo.
That's fucking
He's going Ilya Kuryakin.
So again, I like to really connect to the people because a lot of the people listening, they might not know a lot about the entertainment business. So you are fully overseeing all those channels that I saw in the lobby.
Not all of them. So here,
what about the gay channel? The Logo.
Logo.
So you're doing Logo.
Doing Logo.
Can I touch you for that? That's good, right?
So sure. It's a very inclusive channel. Logo, MTV, MTV2, VH1, Spike, Comedy, and then a bunch of little digital channels: Palladia, VH1 Classic, that kind of stuff.
Because Palladia is fucking awesome.
Palladia's cool.
It's fucking awesome.
Van, you know, Van should get all the credit for that. Van and a bunch of those guys started Palladia, and it's really great. I watch all the time.
So what is Palladia?
It's all live music. So, you know, it's concerts, it's live music shows, I think they have some documentaries, they'll show the occasional movie. It's really just about music.
So is it your answer for the fact that MTV doesn't play music anymore?
I don't know if it's an answer, but it's a place to play music. I mean, MTV has evolved into a place that's become more about, you know, just the world has changed, right? People aren't going to sit around and watch videos anymore. Right. It just doesn't, you know. So, and by the way, that happened before I left MTV. That was by 1995. We were still playing videos, but, you know, it was all about the real world and, you know, Jon Stewart and, you know, different, you know, remote control and Club MTV and, MTV News and Road Rules and just all that stuff.
It became
a different animal over time.
Right. Because when we were doing MTV, which I want to get into a little bit later. But
fucking Pauly Shore.
Yeah, when we were doing it, that was mostly music videos. So what's your answer to all the kids listening going, I fucking hate MTV because there's no music on MTV?
The truth
just
is...
Stop for a second. Think about the kids.
The
kids want to see... What is MTV?
The truth is, the kids... Like my daughter, who's MTV... MTV's not supposed to play music for her. She didn't grow up in a world where MTV played music. Or not a lot of it, anyway. I mean, she knows about the Video Music Awards and Unplugged and things like that. But, you know, she doesn't see MTV as just a place for music. Whereas, you know, as people like you and me who grew up on it, that's what it was. That's how it started. But, you know, everything evolves. Nothing can stay the same. You've evolved. I've evolved. The world's evolved. You know, you're not the same. You're not the same guy, you know, who was MTV 20
years ago. Yeah, I'm sweet baby crusty weasel now. But... But it's still called MTV. It's still called MTV, which stands for Music Television.
Yeah, you're not going to let this go, are you?
No, I'm not speaking for me. I don't care. You think I
care? The only people that care about music on MTV are like people who are like 50 years old and go, hey, man, why don't you play music anymore? So what happened to the Duran Duran videos?
So what do we do for those people?
Look, music is always going to be part of MTV. It's part of the DNA. It is part of what people do expect to a certain degree. But it's not going to be all they do. It's going to be a piece of what they do. Mm. There's always going to be a place for music on MTV. And quite frankly, I think we have to work hard to find a better place for music on MTV because people do, to a certain degree, expect some of it. So you can't see my fingers, but I'm just going a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just imagine my forefinger and my thumb close together, like a little bit.
So your vision for MTV, MTV2 is, now that you've got the keys to the closet
the greatest platform. Not network, but greatest multi-platform, for content, that is for youth culture, young people. I mean, MTV's always been a place that spoke specifically to young people. And that's, I think that's still what it is and what it's got to be going forward. There's not a lot of places that just focus on young adults, and MTV still got, I think, a distinct advantage in that, and a brand with a lot of equity. Everybody knows, it's like Saturday Night Live, been around for a long time now, had its ups, had its downs, several generations have grown up on it, right? Like we grew up on SNL, and there's been some good years, there's been bad years, good periods, bad periods. We're always rooting for it. We want it to mean as much to the generation coming up as it meant to us, and I think that holds true for MTV too.
Yeah, and then what about...
when does Camille get here?
She'll be here soon. Are you excited?
I love Camille.
I was trying to bring the whole
thing. I like it. I love Camille. Yeah.
So what about like 16 and Pregnant? Are you keeping that show? And what about The Hill?
I
was talking about The Hillbilly Show. That was on CMT. That was like the Hillbilly version of...
Jersey Shore.
Yeah. Buck Wild.
Yeah, Buck Wild. Yeah, Buck Wild. So what about 16 and Pregnant? Because I don't watch MTV,
I don't think 16 and Pregnant is still there. I think Teen Mom is.
Yeah.
That's still a pretty, and interestingly enough, what started out is like, sort of salacious kind of idea has actually turned into something that's really sort of socially relevant, and it's actually taking a serious look at what happens to these people who are raising families at that point in their life. In regards to Teen Mom. But, I think MTV going forward, I want to see it be more ambitious, more aspirational, take more chances and continue to do what it's always done best, which is go places and create stuff that no one else was willing to do. That's harder, right? Because there was a day when only MTV did that.
Yeah.
And now you have a lot of different platforms, millions of them, not millions, but literally dozens of them who are trying to sort of hone in on that space. So it's a higher bar than it's ever been.
Mm. And then,
I'm the man for the job, Paul.
I know, that's crazy. it's cool. I mean, it's cool. It's like it's full circle.
Full you, circle. Right? It's full circle of life.
I heard you're in charge of Al Jazeera TV as well.
I'm not.
No,
I'm not.
That's
I was charged. I was in charge of MTV News back in the day.
Yeah,
but you know,
well, yeah, we'll get into that. We'll talk about our meeting at the Mayflower Hotel. I was thinking about that coming over.
Did
here.
We meet there? Is that the first time we
years,
met?
Years ago.
Really? Here's the thing.
Me, young baby.
You're
Crisco.
Gonna have to prompt me. I don't remember.
I don't
anything.
Really remember a lot either.
Yeah, though. I'm very fuzzy on all this stuff.
So logo is a gay channel. It's a gay channel, correct? It's for. No, am I even allowed to say the word gay?
Logo is a channel about inclusiveness, and it certainly was started around, you know, the LGBT thing. And
the LGBT thing?
You know, lesbian, gay, bi, trans. You know, it's like that whole thing. And
if you're not gay, could you be on Logo?
Absolutely.
We have a place for you, sir.
It's evolving into something a little more broad based, but at the same time very inclusive and with an eye towards that audience. So
what happened when you found out that you were in charge of Logo as well? You were excited.
No, I was excited. I think that's cool. That's like a new. It's sort of a new way to think of I've been programming for a long time to between MTV and Comedy Central to sort of like young adults.
Uh-huh.
MTV was in a little different place when I was there, but certainly in the case of Comedy Central, young men, right? So just opening it up with, by the way, with VH1, which is female oriented, or Logo, which goes in a different direction, and Spike, which is we were focusing on just men for a while, now broader. It's always interesting to kind of open up the aperture and see where it can take you.
Mm. And VH1. That's an interesting place.
Interesting place, with some great strength on Monday nights with, sort of like largely African-American programming. And I think, some of the highest rated shows in all of basic cable. Like anything else, it needs to be balanced, right? So, trying to balance it out at VH1.
What's on VH1 these days? What was basically handy? How long ago did you take over this position? It was a couple months ago.
Yeah, like 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Loving Hip Hop Atlanta, man. That's the big show. That's the big show. That's a huge huge ratings winner on Monday nights. They have a whole lineup of different shows that they've run through Monday nights. But the biggest hit right now is
what?
In the family.
What?
Lip Sync Battle at Spike TV.
Wow.
Have you seen the Lip Sync Battle?
No, I have not. Ari, have you seen that? Have you guys seen that?
Never.
What are you doing?
I'm just.
Are you under a rock?
No, I'm with the kids. I'm looking at the computer. I'm looking at Netflix and Hulu.
Lip Sync Battle's all multi-platform hits.
It's viral, like the Black Plague. It's everywhere.
Really?
I mean, better than the Black Plague. Yeah. I don't want
to. I bet Barry Katz knows what Lip Sync Battle
Barry
is.
Barry Katz is all over it.
You seen Lip Sync Battle?
I am ashamed to say I have not seen it.
Do you know what it is?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm with you.
All right.
Wally
Pipp.
There we go.
So you're still in charge of Spike and Comedy Central.
Spike and Comedy Central.
Jesus. Well, who's the new Doug Herzog over there?
Well, there's presidents at each brand.
Yeah,
so.
But who's the Doug Herzog over at Comedy Central and Spike? Who's under you?
Michelle Gainless is the president of Comedy Central. Kevin Kaye's president of Spike TV, Stephen Friedman's president of MTV, and Tom Calderon's president of VH1.
And you're the man in charge, and you're right?
Yeah, that's me. Yeah,
that's
sure.
Sick. That's sick. That's cool. That's cool. What do you think about? Let's give him a round of applause for just that position.
Yeah, just for my total heaviosity.
So, first of all, I want to say hugely congratulations that you chose.
I'm just
this
getting
task.
Over the grilling I just took on Logo and VH1. I thought this was going to be like softballs all day.
No softballs. It's
like fastballs to the chin. No lob pitching here. What's
this
the deal?
The Pauly Shore podcast show. There's no softballs.
Yeah, we go straight
Why
to
are you like Chris Matthews for Christ's sake.
Right.
Killing me.
So let's go back to John Stewart. When you got the call that he was taking off, you were happy for him, obviously.
Of course.
He did a huge run this guy did.
Yeah. It was, look, it was clear that, it started with the movie he wanted to make and ultimately ended up making. He actually moved out of New York City into suburban New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So all these things were like,
festering.
It was clear to me like, oh, he's headed to a different place in his life. And there were long discussions for a long time. So, when we had the ultimate discussion, it was a discussion that we wanted to have because, you know, we had to sort of figure out, you know, he was coming up for a renegotiation. Mm. So it was all, and it was always, truthfully, it was always a question of, is he going to stay through the election or not? Because it was always clear, and he was pretty clear, that he was not staying any longer than the election. This was going to be a short-term thing one way or another. Just a question of, was it going to be through the election or a little shorter? So it turned out to be a little shorter. We knew for, I probably found, you know, we probably spoke around Thanksgiving, but we didn't announce it. Or he didn't announce it until after the first, until we got Larry Wilmore launched. So, you know, we sat on that for a while. And it's one thing to know about it, which I did for a long time. And then there's another thing when he announces it to the world and you see the unbelievable, overwhelming response from every corner. It's, you know, it sort of takes your breath away. Mm. You know, Jon Stewart, you know, he's going up on Mount Rushmore, you know, and TV personalities.
Yeah.
But look, nothing lasts forever. It's a great, tremendous run.
How many years was it?
I think like 16 plus.
Jesus.
He went on in January of 1999, yeah.
That was after his show got canceled on MTV.
Thank you.
Remember that?
Sure, I put him on there.
That's crazy.
We didn't cancel
a lot of people.
We didn't cancel that show. That show, we couldn't afford to do it, and it was picking up some steam, and Paramount came to us and said, we want to syndicate it. So they took it into syndication. Then it got canceled.
But let's get honest. Let's get real.
Let's get real here.
The bottom line is I think America didn't really take on to Jon Stewart until you got him on Comedy Central.
And even
because
even
he didn't, because I remember when he was doing talk, I was on his talk show on MTV, and I remember during that time when I was on MTV, he was trying to figure his thing out.
Yeah,
he was totally, I don't want to say clueless at all, he was just trying to figure it out. But then when he landed on his feet with you at Comedy Central and he started doing the political thing, it was like, whoa.
He found his voice.
That's what I'm saying.
And by the way, it didn't happen right away.
No.
You know, I mean, he was on from 99. I want to say it was a couple of years in before he really started to pick up steam and really, you know, took him a while to figure out even after he sat behind the desk, right? But he was smart enough to know that coming to The Daily Show was going to be a big opportunity for him, and he really saw something. And
he killed it.
He crushed it.
I mean, it was just – but it was finding his voice and finding the thing that really kind of resonated with what worked for him.
Right.
Which you gave him that opportunity because when he was on MTV, he was trying to figure it out.
Yeah, he was a young man.
He was trying to figure it out.
Jon was probably in his very early 30s then. He's a young man. He's just trying to figure it out. It's like, you know, it's like that first album or two, you know? It doesn't happen. You gotta hone the sound.
Yeah, he really found his place.
Yeah, he did. And look, you know, and then the rest is TV history. Yeah. So
were you in charge of
Crisco?
Yeah, were you in charge of MTV Unplugged?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
So the Nirvana one, because I know Nirvana's got the big document. Have you seen the new documentary?
You know, I got through about half it this weekend, and it was really well done.
Mm.
His pain that he was clearly in is so hard. I found it hard to watch. I really did. I found it really, really, really hard to watch. But I lived through that whole thing at MTV. I mean, that was early 90s, and, you know, I was there. I remember, interestingly enough, for a band that was considered the ultimate indie alternative band, they did a ton of stuff with MTV. They did, you know, all kinds of events for us, and they're on the VMAs. I remember them doing one Friday afternoon, doing a 45 minute show down in the MTV studios that we taped. I remember they did a New Year's Eve show up in Seattle for us. And of course Unplugged, which was, I remember, you know, everybody wanted to go to that show. That was the show.
Amazing. And then Alice in Chains did the Unplug. I mean, Unplugged was insane.
That I don't remember as much.
Alex Galletti was...
Oh, Alex in Chains.
No, Alice in Chains.
Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
But Alex Galletti was a producer.
Yeah, he was the producer.
Yeah, I wasn't into Alice in Chains as much as... I was more of a fan of Nirvana.
Yeah.
I'm not much of a hard rock guy in general.
Yeah. So what about bringing back any of these kind of like shows for MTV? I mean, you are in charge.
Truthfully, I mean, one of the things about MTV is it needs to constantly reinvent itself. Mm. So, you know, moving forward rather than backward, I think is important. Unplugged, just because it's a format that can exist in, you know.
Anything, yeah.
Well, it doesn't have to be about 1995. It can be about 2015. So I think something like that. And we still do them, just not to the extent we were doing them back then. Mm. But, you know, I think certain ideas, and obviously the real world has, you know, which I got started in 1990-something, is still there today. But then that's a show that reinvents itself every season. So I think that's the reason it's still around. So I think you have to be careful with in terms of reaching back versus reaching forward.
What about documentary stuff on MTV, like docuseries, doing kind of like, I don't know, retro-y type kind of flashbacky, documentary.
Yeah, again, interesting to you and me. I mean, that's probably something for a different network. That's probably something for like a VH1 Classic, which has a slightly older audience, or even a Palladia, So, MTV's, is largely watched by pretty young people, right. A lot younger than you and me.
Yeah.
So, like, their appetite for looking back is not as great as ours, because... Mm. Everything was better for you and me then because we were younger.
And then what about there's HBO Go? Is there going to be like an MTV Go
type of? Yeah, I think over time, everybody will have to figure out how to get into what they call the over-the-top business, right? Mm. So it's different for HBO. They're not exactly completely, because they're it's a premium service without commercials. So they're sort of the rules are slightly different for them versus us. Mm. So that's why you don't see as many, sort of successful over the top things in sort of like the basic cable world, but it's all coming. Got to be figured out over time. But that HBO Go is a great service.
Mm-hmm. And Comedy Central.
Comedy Central.
You're still on top of that. Huh?
All over that's that. Crazy. And, despite
who's
John.
Who's in charge of the digital portion of Comedy Central?
Guy named Steve Grimes.
Steve Grimes.
Just saw him upstairs. Yeah, he's here from New York. Great guy.
Yeah, and he does all the original digital content.
He doesn't do it all, but there's not a ton of it, truthfully. Mm. But there is original content.
Wasn't it Ari? We were looking online. Was it the Amy Schumer experiment? What was it?
That was on Comedy Central.
What is it?
I don't remember what it was called, she has a little exclusive
Inside Amy
web.
Schumer. She's got a great show on
Inside
Comedy.
Right.
And she's got her movie coming, and Amy's, you must know Amy.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
Amy's the real deal.
Yeah.
She's a killer. And she's got, the show's on the air now. It's fantastic. She's had a couple of great bits that have gone viral, right? Mm. The last fuckable moment. I don't know if you've seen that one.
Oh, so
and the 12 Angry Men sketch. I don't know if you saw that one. Also great. A couple of music videos. Really, really great stuff. I mean, Amy's, Amy is she is firing on all cylinders. And then her movie Trainwreck's about to come out this summer.
That's what
with your man Judd Apatow. I'll name drop for you Judd Apatow, who did the podcast very recently. Sure, friend of the pod. She's just giant. Amy's got a terrific. I think one of the best stand-up acts out there right now, and I think she's crushing it on every level. So. Amy Schumer. We're happy to be in business with her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ari, awesome. Any other questions for the man? Because we're going to wrap
it
up here. He's got meetings.
I think you need to pitch your new show idea.
No, he doesn't.
I thought he pitched it. I thought it was Paulie doing a documentary about Spring Break.
He's got one.
Produce Spring Break.
He's got one that I can tell you this. No matter what you hear, you've never heard anything like it.
Really?
Yeah, but he doesn't control TLC.
Well, TLC. I think you need to get his professional opinion.
Does it involve having a lot of babies or little people?
No, it's called Inbreeders.
Oh.
And I'm pretty much looking for...
I have not heard that before, yes.
No, I'm looking for the next, like an inbreed... Like, I want to replace Honey Boo Boo's family with all people that... But it's a family tree in the open, but it's like the opposite. So it's like really people that have had sex with their cut. You know what I mean? It's almost like Bruce Jenner is like the transgender, like all that stuff's really fucking popular.
Like those people, like the Lannisters on Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
Spoiler.
What do you think about that? The inbreeders?
Yeah, I think
for TLC, not for you. It's not
I have not heard that before.
Right. So we're looking for the next.
There you go. You have Doug Herzog's stamp of approval.
I've not heard that one before. Yeah.
Thanks for sitting down with us.
How's everything at the club? What's going on?
This isn't about me. This is about you. This is your interview with
Doug
Herzog.
We'll catch up off mic.
Everything's cool. The club's doing awesome.
That's great.
I mean, it's doing great. I mean, it's just. It breeds, these comics that just kind of come in all the time.
And everybody loves that. I mean, everybody, that's still the place to go in town. And everybody wants to be there and everybody wants to go there.
We were just on the road. We were in, where were we? We were in
Iowa.
And just, I hear about what's going on. And one night, who else? I mean, Louis C.K. is up there. Chris Rock. So who else is?
Everyone. Literally everyone.
Mark Maron, D'Elia.
They're all there.
It's everyone's. Yeah, people love it. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah, all right.
Well, thanks for having me, Paulie. It's good to see you.
Man, I'm so – that's crazy.
You're sitting across from me in a V-neck sweater. I'm not sure I would, you know – It
what am I supposed to wear?
I don't know, but you know, yeah, it was like spring break, sort of. You know, your old ripped tee. You know, some wee stuff.
No wee stuff. It's in my boxes. It's in my boxes.
It's in your boxes. You have all the old stuff. Do you save stuff?
I think I have some stuff.
But I mean, are you like a
hoarder?
Not a hoarder, but like, do you like save mementos and you know?
Yeah,
yeah.
I got a lot of
stuff. You got a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe one day you'll bring it. We'll check it out.
Hopefully.
All right.
All right. All right. Thanks, Doc.
Thank you.
Oh, what do you think? That was Doug Herzog.
So funny. He's funny.
Yeah.
So wise and full of wisdom.
Yeah.
You guys, I didn't like that, what you just said. That he seemed like you were being sarcastic. Were you guys being sarcastic?
No, I was serious. He had a lot to say. I learned a lot.
Yeah, I love an East Coast guy. He knew my Yankees reference. That's all I need.
Yeah.
I may be in love. I don't know.
Right. No, it was I don't know. It's just like a little trip down memory lane for me. I want to thank Doug for sitting down with us and definitely letting us in. You know, the Viacom offices here.
So cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
A lot of cool stories.
What?
A lot of cool stories about your MTV days. I learned about you a lot, too.
This is why I need a co-host. See, my co-host right now would be riffing with me more than you guys. You guys got to help me out. Riff with me. Go.
Oh.
I mean, you're my this is your first day.
Yeah, this is
I mean, you got thrown into this shit.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
Right now, I'm in the Shark Tank, and the water feels pretty good. I feel all right. I'm glad Ari is here with
me. Hannah, my other intern who's been on the show, is going, "This is bullshit. it sounds like shit. This is not happening."
And she's probably right. I don't know if I'm ready.
No, you're doing great, Ari.
I think this is a great podcast, and we got recognized in Iowa from the podcast. Remember that?
Oh yeah,
one lady said, "I listen to you guys on the podcast."
What do I call my fans?
Do you have a name for them?
They're called Beebers, right? What are they called? Beliebers. Yeah, Beliebers. I just took his.
Okay.
All right. Well, anyways, thanks, Doug. Congratulations on the new position. We'll be looking at revamping Spring Break 89, right? Do some of that stuff.
Bring it back.
We're going to a Camille. Camille, you guys want to help me toss to this?
Camille Grammer.
Not Grammer anymore. Camille.
Still Grammer.
No, she's still Grammer.
Oh, she is.
Okay. Yeah. Wait,
what was the house.
What's
the real name? Camille Donatucci.
Yeah, Donatucci. I think Donatucci. Anyways, you guys are fans of The Housewives of Beverly Hills. I think she might be going back on The Housewives of Beverly Hills. I'm not quite sure.
Question mark.
But here she is, you guys. I've known her for 25 years because I met her back when we were young kids on MTV. She was in the sand pit. Ladies and gentlemen,
Camille Grammer.
This is crazy, huh?
Yeah, it's crazy.
We never had sex, me and you, right?
No. We hung out. Come on. The Wheeze. I'm back with the Wheeze.
No, but because we had
good times.
Oh my God.
In Daytona.
I remember the first time I saw you was in the this is Camille, you guys. And is your last name, cuz I'm confused. It's not Anderson. No, but it's not. No, it's Grammer. Yeah, you know, Grammer. But what's your name before
that? Donatucci. Nice Italian name, Camille Donatucci.
So when we did Spring Break MTV back in the day, you were Camille Donatucci.
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, I'm super proud of you.
Thank you.
I mean, super proud of you because...
Thank you.
Not that when I saw you, I didn't think great things would happen for you, mm-hmm. but great things have happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw you, when we were kids and down mm-hmm. in spring break, you were just this beautiful girl with great energy and big boobs wearing a yellow bikini.
Yes.
Right?
Tell us about that. Wow, we were dancing on Club MTV and we'd wear these bright bikinis because it looks good against your skin and we had a great time. And I see Paul dancing on a stage and I see Paulie working his way up. He's just wheezing his way around and all of a sudden he's like,
hey. Ari, what are you doing? Are you Googling her?
Yes, sir.
What'd you think?
So,
wow.
So go on.
So Polly came up and he was just like, we started dancing and hanging out and we had a great time. We kind of just hit it off and he was fun and adorable and he had this long curly hair and he's all about peace and love and he was funny. And then we just started hanging out at spring breaks together. That was like our time together. And I remember that crazy time we went out to dinner with Rodney Dangerfield. Mm. He had his PJs on. I don't know if you remember any of this.
He did. Yeah, I remember.
And he was rude as shit.
Right.
He was fucking awful.
Right.
And Polly, he was always belching in front of me. And Polly, you were such a gentleman. Mm. You told him to cut it out.
Mm.
He's like, knock it off.
Mm.
And then we walked out and then you made out with me outside.
We did?
Yeah, we did. You don't even remember that. You kissed me. You finally got your kiss in.
But we never had sex, though.
No.
Who did you wind up hooking up with, Denver? You weren't a slut. I know
no,
that.
No, I really wasn't. I wasn't hooking up with anybody. There were a lot of stuff going on. I mean, the dancers were... I remember one night I was out. I came home, and they were all in my room. I had like three or four male dancers in my room hooking up with other women, and I was actually walking over them as they were having sex. And they're like, Camille, stop it. Like, no, I want to go to my bed. You guys get out of my bedroom. So we had a lot of fun. Again, I didn't have sex with anybody. I didn't.
Zero? No rock stars? You got to.
Well, I'm not going to talk about the rock stars. Okay, maybe a couple of rock stars.
So who are the rock stars? You must have. I mean, you had your tits were beautiful. You were, they're beautiful now, but
thank
I mean,
you.
Back then they were like popping out. They're like big oranges, right? And guys would see you. And so, who was it back then?
Back then, I didn't hook up with anybody during the club. What is it? The spring breaks. But we would hang out with a bunch of people. I remember hanging out with the guys from Ugly Kid Joe.
Mm.
Were you with us, Karen Duffy, and us? And there are a lot of people that were coming in and out, performing at MTV for spring break. But I didn't hook up.
Yeah, and then I remember we kept in touch for a long time.
A long time.
Because every time I came to New York, we always hooked up. We
hung out.
Went to dinner, had drinks, met with Tony.
Yeah, right? I remember hanging out, going to the premiere of Biodome.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
In New York?
Yeah, I remember going to you called me up and invited me to the premiere, and so that was fun.
Yeah.
That was a fun
movie.
That's
crazy.
Yeah.
So how many years did you do MTV Spring Break? Because you were like a staple.
Yeah, I think we started in 80, me, thank you.
Yeah.
Me, was it 88 and 89, 91, 92? I don't know if I did 93.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but I did the years that we were invited.
And what were some of the stories and the different things you remember back then?
I remember being with out at some bar or nightclub with Julie Brown and the dancers and John Claude Van Damme, who was actually married at the time, came hit on me, and Julie was like, not one of my dancers, darling. Right. Shoo, shoo, shoo away. So she was very protective over her dancers back then. But we were like, 18, 19 years old? Mm. We were all like teenagers, and it was the greatest time. Wasn't it fun?
Yeah. No,
come on, you had fun.
Yeah, no.
You had fun.
That's what we were talking. I was talking to Doug a lot about it, how, just that whole time, because he runs MTV now.
So I know.
He's like on top of it again. But I'm like, why didn't you fucking bring it back?
Bring us back. Bring the good times back. Woo!
Well,
I mean, MTV is still great. They have great programming. Stepdaughter, or what do they call it? Ex-stepdaughter, who I love, is on one of the shows for MTV, Awkward, Great Grammar, and she's awesome. So I'm really happy that MTV's done their, some good programming. But we got to bring back some of the party and some of the music.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean,
so you were down at spring break, and that was like 93, 94 is when you stopped.
Yeah, that was around
and
the
then
time.
You lived
I think
up
I
in
met
New York.
You in 88. We met.
No, I was there 89. That was my first year, yeah.
Okay, then we met.
And then you were in New York all the time. When did you wind up moving out to Los Angeles? And where did you meet Kelsey? And like, where did that whole kind of time start?
I was introduced to Kelsey through Jeremy Zimmer at UTA. He basically runs UTA now. Kelsey and his fiance had broken up for a few months, and I think Jeremy said, I know a girl for you, Kels. And they were playing golfing. They were golfing together, and then Jeremy called me and said, meet me for dinner. Kelsey's coming along. So it's kind of a blind date. So we met and we just hit it off.
Yeah, but what years was this?
God, I got married in 97, so I met Kelsey in 95, 96.
Yeah, because I remember I was a little jealous.
Were you really?
A little bit.
No.
I was a little jealous. I was telling you about that, right?
Yeah, you said that you wished it was you.
Yeah.
Oh. I always said.
I remember.
He, how much did he pay you to say that?
he just doesn't pay me at all. No.
Yeah. because I remember I was like, oh my God, like she got married or is with someone.
We always had like our special connection.
Yeah.
We did. Yeah, and you always would invite me to do shows with you and stuff. Yeah. And I remember dancing to Drop Dead Fred and you were...
Oh, my God.
You remember that? You were dressed up as Drop Dead Fred and you were too sexy.
Oh, yeah. That was... I'm too sexy. Now that's embarrassing.
I wish there were cell phones back then.
Right. You should have saw what he had on, too. Yeah. Could you imagine Instagram and Twitter back then? God, we would all be in trouble.
Yeah.
Blackmail.
The what?
We would have broke the internet.
Yeah, we would have broke the internet. So so you got married, and then you moved out. Did you meet him in L.A. or New York?
I met him in New York at an Italian restaurant, and we were... Actually, I think I might have thought I was on a date with Jeremy Zimmer at the time, because Jeremy were hanging out. We weren't dating officially, but we were friends, and I liked Jeremy. He was a really funny guy. But he introduced me to Kelsey, and Kelsey and I just hit it off, and Kelsey's very charming. A lot of charisma.
One of the best actors out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Fucking, you cannot deny his talent.
Yeah, yeah, he's super, super talented.
Yeah.
And then how long were you... You guys were married for a long time.
13 years.
That's a long time.
It's a long time. We were together for 14.
Yeah.
And we've been through a lot. We were through a lot together. I know. You know, a lot of ups and downs.
I don't want to really talk a lot about it because it's not my business. And it's like, I don't, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't, like, he's a friend of mine. I know him. I see him.
Mm-hmm.
Give him big hugs when I see him. I don't want to get in the middle of.
Of course. And I don't want to say anything bad about him either. He's my ex-husband and we have two kids together, you know? So I loved him for that time. Yeah. And now we've gone on different paths.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, all the way from the girl in the sand pit with the with the yellow bikini all the way to that. That's crazy, huh?
Yeah.
And where are you living now?
I'm still in Malibu in the house that Kelsey and I share together. We still own it together, but I'm trying to sell it. So
downsize.
Yeah, I need to downsize. Yeah. It's way too much property for me. It's a big house for a single woman with two kids. So, but you know, the housewife thing. Yeah, that just kind of came along.
When was that? What year was that?
Oh, it was the year that Kelsey did the play. He decided to do the play. Oh, what was it? 2010 that started?
Because that's a craze.
Oh, it is craze. Those girls are cray-cray.
No, I'm talking about just the craze.
Of the housewives. It's huge.
Housewives at? It's Atlanta, Beverly Hills.
New York, Beverly Hills, the OC, New Jersey. Now they're... have one in Melbourne. There's one also, there was a Vancouver Housewives. It's Bravo's done huge off of that franchise. It's huge for them. I mean, you know,
why
to
do
be
you think
involved,
that so many people want to see the Housewives?
I think people like
if you're in their no, but if you're in their position, you know, they're,
I think it makes
America,
them,
you know,
it makes them feel
moms,
better about their lives or something, you know,
soccer
watch,
moms,
yes,
you know, like, because the deal is you're on the show and you'd get the ratings and they were probably really big and you'd be like, who the fuck is watching this? And it, and all these housewives are watching this. So what do you think that you guys did, housewives all across America, that people are...
Well,
so
for our show, Beverly Hills Housewives, we were introducing, you know, the glamour of Hollywood or the glamour of Beverly Hills. It's going to be like a lifestyle piece meets the drama. So we're going to, you know, we're taking, introducing our world into, you know, you people can get a glimpse into my home, you know, or Lisa's home and the extravagance of certain housewives and the money, which is to some of these people that were interested in, you know, seeing what's behind closed doors.
And did Kelsey like that you did the Housewives show?
He prompted me to do it.
Oh, he wanted you
to do
it.
Yeah, he wanted me to do it. He said, when something falls in your lap like that, you got to take the opportunity. Mm. And I'm going, what is he up to? Because my mom's like, there's no good that can come of this. Have you ever watched these shows? And I'm like, no, Mom, I really haven't watched these shows. So I didn't do my homework and kind of went into it pretty green, honestly, and said a lot of stupid things the first season. But that was a part of, like, I wanted to play it up to be kind of a goofball and funny, but it didn't come off that way. It kind of came off of me just being the villain. But it's taxing. Because, you know, you read a script, you go on audition, like yourself, you read a script, you go on audition, you go in, or you go and you play a character, you go home, you leave your character. Mm. Like this, it's you. So you don't leave it. And then you're like, oh my God, what is that going to come off like? Because you never know what you're going to come off like. Now I have more of a feeling like what I come off on camera. But the first season, I was so green on Housewives. Mm. And also, I've done reality TV before because MTV is kind of reality, right? Mm-hmm. But a very positive and a different kind of reality. It's very uplifting. And, you know, we had fun on Club MTV. You know, it's all about parties and good times and spring break. Mm. And then I'm walking into a job that, you know, they want drama for ratings. So it was a little different from what I was used to.
Well, that sounds good. Well, I wanted to call you in here because of the old nostalgia of, you know, super happy for you. You know, when I saw you on TV on The Housewives, I was always like, oh, shit, there she is, my little MTV dancer girl. So, you know, and I'm glad that, you know, you guys got great kids.
Thank you.
What are your kids' names?
My Mason, my daughter, who's 13, and she is an honor roll student and this great soccer player.
Okay.
Incredible. I was never into soccer. I was into dance, but she's an incredible, incredible soccer player. My son, Jude, is just, I think he's the natural actor. Mm. And, you know, both of them want to be in the entertainment business, obviously. But my daughter's really into directing and writing her own little scripts and directing and, you know, putting things together, which is
great.
So
life is good.
Life is great. Yeah, I can't complain. I mean, I got over cancer. That was a big, huge hurdle.
Yeah.
I got over a divorce, a terrible divorce and cancer and came on radiation. But I'm in remission and I'm really happy and happy to be here.
And you made it to Santa Monica.
Yes, and I made it out to Santa Monica to see you. Come on, we've got to do the little pause.
Weasel, bro. Thanks for sitting with us. And tell us your last name again, not Kramer, the other one.
Not the grammar one.
Not the grammar one.
Donatacci.
That's fucking sexy as fuck.
Donatacci. Yeah.
Camille Donatacci.
In high school, they used to nickname me Donatacci. I was such a prude in high school. I truly was.
I believe it.
Till I got to MTV. Woo!
Yeah, but you had the big titties, and I remember those those beautiful titties down there in the sand pit.
Back
in the late 80s, early 90s. So thanks.
And you did sneak a kiss in.
I did, right?
Yeah, you did.
Feel like that podcast was I don't think it was that funny. I think it was like, what do you think? I mean, you guys watched the whole thing.
I thought it was really interesting. I thought
it was more interesting than
it was
funny.
A trip down memory lane. Yeah. Huh. So it was really engaging.
Like, if you were listening to what just happened, what would you say?
That Rick kid sucks.
The Rick hit. Well, we know that part.
That's but I would say I want MTV to go back to the way it was.
No, because
it
sounds happen.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I want to happen after listening to the podcast.
Yeah. So Camille and Doug, thank you so much for letting me in your lives, letting us in your lives.
This was a real deal interview. He was expecting a lighthearted, fun time with Pauly Shore the Weasel, but he wasn't expecting Pauly Shore the interviewer getting down to the nitty gritty details of his life and career.
Wow. And did you hear the Barry podcast episode?
I did.
Which one was funnier?
This one was funnier. That one was more focused on solely his career and his climb to the top of where he is today.
So maybe that's the thing that I missed. I missed his climb to the top.
Well, it was already covered. Maybe you kind of came in and got what was needed.
God damn it. I knew you were here for some reason.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to call you dad from now on. Wow.
Anyways, thank you guys for sitting down and listening to Doug Herzog and Camille Denatucci's. And we'll see you guys next time. Follow me on Twitter at Pauly Shore and check out my website, which is paulyshore.com for tour dates. And everybody, I want my... You guys don't remember that?
I want my MTV.
Bye, guys. Bye.